Well, good morning, everybody, fellow citizens, fellow East Tennesseans and Western North Carolinians and Southwestern Virginians. I'm so glad to be in your presence this morning. Hopefully, we can actually accomplish something. One thing that I accomplished was getting old, at least old enough to now be on Medicare. Yep. November the 1st, I became a Medicare recipient. Now, I had to get rid of my other cards in my wallet. Now I have my Medicare card, and I have my—I went with Blue Cross Blue Shield Medicare Advantage plan. Don't ask me why. I was confused. You know, it's kind of like the person that buys a car and goes into the finance office, and they get all this stuff presented to them as far as, you know, extended warranties or service contracts, as they're properly referred to. Gap insurance. You know what gap insurance is? That's where if you wreck your car and you end up owing more on your car than the insurance company will pay you for it, then they will compensate you by filling the gap. So you are protected. So that's what gap insurance is. Then you've got other things like all these protection plans. You know, do you want to protect your wheels? Do you want to protect your tires? Do you want to protect against dents and dings? All of these little products are available, and they're basically, I don't know, insurance products that you can buy. You know what our biggest insurance product, our biggest selling product was 40 years ago and 30 years ago in the car business? It started changing about, you know, 30 years ago. It used to be credit life and accident and health insurance. And it was the most expensive insurance that you could buy as far as your life and health is concerned. But it would basically, you could sign up for it with no medical check. So, you know, somebody buys a $50,000 car. Well, you know, back then it wasn't that much. But an expensive car, finances it. You know, if something happened to them and they couldn't make the payments, then, you know, they're sick, for example. You had to be out for, I think, 10 days. Maybe 30 days. It's a retro policy, basically. So if you were out for a certain amount of time, it'd go back and start making your payments for you. And then if you actually kick the bucket, then it would pay off the car for your those that are left behind. So, you know, and there were a lot of claims that were paid over the years for credit life and accident health. But it was really expensive, and nobody wants it anymore. So they stopped selling it. But that's the kind of stuff that you can buy in a finance office. And, you know, that's the way I felt when the guy came to see me about my Medicare supplement plans. And I'm not going to be talking about that a lot today, or at all, really, other than the fact that I am with you. We're brethren. If we are on the Medicare bandwagon, we are brethren. You know, all that money that I paid in all those years, I'm now getting the benefit of it. And I just hope I live to 150. So that I can milk the government for every dime of it. Does that sound bad? I don't think it does. I think they deserve it, whoever they is, right? So we're going to talk about some things. We're going to continue down the road a little bit on the defensive car buying. It's a school. I started it. It's called the Guru School of Defensive Car Buying. Later on in the week, we'll probably get into another department of the defensive school, and that happens to be defensive service buying, you know, when you obtain service and things that you should do and watch for when you go into, I don't care if it's an independent shop or it's a new car dealer with a service department, certain things that you can do to make it work better. There's a lot of things car dealers can do to make the experience better for customers. At Gateway, we're in the process of revamping a few things. I think technology has allowed us to do some additional things that we couldn't do in the past. You know, a lot of people, they just don't want a phone call. They don't want to have to move their lips and exercise all of that energy that it takes to actually talk. So they'd rather move their thumbs around on a keyboard and text. So good for them. We will text them when they need to be informed, you know, asking people, how do you want to be communicated with? I mean, it used to be there was one way, phone. But, you know, technology has had a way of changing a lot of things. I was just thinking about it the other day. The things that, as far as the best things that advancing technology has done for me or for you. Ask yourself that question. Go ahead. Okay. As far as life and death, what is the best thing that, that technology has done for you? I would say there'd be a lot of people saying, well, you know, the cures for cancer, the advanced technology there, medical advancements. For me, you know, it's heart meds. And I don't want you to think my heart's getting ready to explode. I don't think it is. But there are things that are that I'm sure that my doctor, my cardiologist says I'm taking now that will prolong my life. And that's pretty cool. It's also cool that my brother was able, he was a cardiologist, or still is. He doesn't do caths anymore. You know what a cath is, right? C-A-T-H, I guess that's how you spell it. That's when they go up in your leg or in your arm and stick this wire up into your heart and inject dye. And then they show it up on this big screen and see if you have any blockages. And they were able to do that to me, and I didn't have any yet. So that's a good thing. But that kind of technology is awesome. That's probably had a big impact on me. Cars, I'm going to say for me, airbags. I think that, I mean, it's been around a long time, but my goodness, are they advanced now? They even, the seat that you're sitting in your car, if you're riding in a car right now, it has weighed you already. It knows how much you weigh. And it knows, the car knows because it knows how much you weigh, how much force to exert when the airbag opens up. So if you weigh 100 pounds, it's not going to come out with the force that it does if you weigh 250 pounds. So that's really good technology. I know it really helped my daughter Audra when she wrecked her little VW Jetta and ended up without a scratch, just a busted lip. You know, other technologies, I mean, you know, navigation, automatic air conditioning. I remember one of the when we first got intermittent wipers. Wow. You know, we were just so excited that the wipers didn't either just have to be on slow or on fast, when they could just kind of go, you know, you could time it, so to speak. And now my wipers on my F-150 just come on by themselves. I have cameras and sensors and stuff, and it's, if it sees a raindrop, it says, oh, I got to go wipe that off for Lenny. That's pretty cool. To me, one of the most important inventions, and I'm serious, this is a biggie. You ready? Cup holders. Yep. You know, I don't know when they started. I could probably Google it and see when the first cup holders came about. But to me, that's not really technology. It's just convenience. And, you know, the Germans were late to embrace that. They said, you don't need to be drinking in a car. Well, you know, ask somebody that really likes Pal's tea, and they'll tell you, I like drinking in my car. Tea, that is. And it's got to be big enough to hold a big 32-ounce cup or a big gulp so that when I get done, I can roll down my power window and throw it out the window. I don't mean that. You know, that is another thing that really irritates me. I wish the car would automatically stop when somebody threw something out the window that they shouldn't. But that technology has not arrived yet. So life and death, cars. Okay, personal, I think... my wife is going to disagree with this, but I'm going to say the cell phone, but only for the pictures, the ability to take pictures and do movies. I mean, it's something that I really enjoy. I'm a photographer anyway. Did I say it right that time? I like taking pictures, and I think I got that from my dad, but I have several cameras, pretty high quality cameras. I'm kind of a gearhead anyway, and that applies to cameras. But the phone has been really cool. However, instant communication and access to me at all points has been a drag. It's a drag on life, and it's a drag on freedom, and it's a drag on society in general. I mean, you see any kind of incident going on, what's everybody do? Drag their cameras out and start recording. You know, you can't even mug somebody without somebody taking a picture. What's up with this world? I don't mean that. That was a joke. As far as homes are concerned, you know, I had to think about that. I'm thinking, you know, camera systems is really cool. That's a neat technology. Alarm systems, you know, somebody breaks in your house. I don't know when that all started, but, you know, we had alarms on our cars long before we had alarms on our homes. And so I think that is a great technology. So technology has done a lot for us. I think we're in overkill right now. Had an interesting conversation with a octogenarian the other day. That's somebody that's 80. He is still working full time. I admire the guy beyond all belief. He is my insurance agent. And Mr. Smith, that's really his name, is a just an outstanding person. And he was telling me that his wife and her sister drove to Oklahoma in her sister's Tesla, and it was a nightmare. They were all excited going out, and then Tesla has all these supercharging stations, and they kind of plotted where it was. Well, they got range anxiety several times, and what was supposed to take 12 hours took them just shy of 24 hours to get out there, because they had to stop like 6 times and recharge. And several of the charging stations were full, so they had to wait till those fine folks charged their Teslas. And then once they got charged, they had to sit there for 40 minutes minimum to charge their Tesla before they could move on. Guess how they spent the last 100 miles? In the front of a tow truck with the Tesla on the back of the – it was a rollback, basically – but they got so low and didn't know where the next charging station was, they just pulled over, called customer or roadside assistance, and somebody came and picked them up and took them the rest of the way. That's what you're in for if you buy an electric vehicle and that is your only vehicle. If you're going to travel, it becomes a little bit more of an adventure. And that's a little bit of technology that I can live without right now. I don't know about you, but I like the idea of being able to pull into a gas station and filling up that tank and, being able to go on and do it in about, 5 to 10 minutes at most. Get me a big gulp and some pretzels and just not have to wait in line for somebody to charge their car. That is just something that we're going to have to figure out. That's another reason I like hybrids better, but gosh, the way the media and everything is pushing these electric vehicles, it is exhausting for me to just read all the stuff I have to do to be able to function as a car dealer and manage this radio show and keep you guys informed. So, my recommendation is just, unless you're just going to use it locally and, maybe to drive to Knoxville and back or something like that, don't buy an electric vehicle yet. Know what you're getting into. It sounds cool. You might be a hit at the pool party or something. Oh, hey, Charlie owns a Tesla. And everybody wants to talk to Charlie. Maybe the ego thing is worth it for you. I don't know, but I'm just going to avoid it and recommend you avoiding it until they get this thing figured out. Sorry, Joe Biden. That's just the way I feel about it. Well, we'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, Lenny Lawson here, the car guru, and I'm glad to be back with you. I actually stepped into the faculty center here at the Guru School of Defensive Car Buying. I was talking to one of my finance managers. And, that's an important job in a car dealership. Finance departments in dealerships happened in the very latter part of the 60s and early 70s. Markups started to shrink a little bit on cars but dealers wanted to control a little bit more of the buying process. What would happen is a customer would agree to buy a car, and then, some people had cash, but a lot of folks didn't, and so they had to go down and visit their banker. They had to leave the dealership, go to the bank, or make an appointment and go speak to the loan officer, and he would ask them, well, what are you buying? And sometimes he would redirect you to somebody else because he had a buddy, that worked at the Buick store. You don't want a Chevrolet. Go down to the Buick store. I'll call him. And they were probably in cahoots with one another. But when somebody leaves the dealership, the dealership loses control. So if somebody could figure out how to finance cars through the dealership and the customer not have to leave, that would be a good thing. And it has turned out to be a wonderful thing. It has kept a lot of car dealers in business. you know, because the banks, because we would originate loans for the banks would be willing to pay a flat fee or a percentage in order to compensate us for our efforts. Now, a lot of people have been taken advantage of by car dealers and finance offices. I mean, you can, for example, you go to the bank, you can get 4.9. The dealership charges you 5.9. That's not the way it really works now, because all those shenanigans have pretty much been eliminated. A dealer can still overcharge you the rate. That's where it's so important for you to know what your credit score is and what you would qualify for. You know, before you come in and buy the dealership, you know, at the school, we talk about, we talked last week or, yeah, no, it was this week on fake advertising, how to contact a dealer and get the deal going. And, you know, we probably need to delve a little bit more into negotiation. But the finance office is a place where you got to keep your guard up just a little bit. Okay? So where a lot of dealerships take advantage of customers, now these are the bandits that I talk about sometimes, is when you walk into the finance office after you've already decided, okay, I'll buy the car, this is how much difference I'm going to pay, and you walk into the finance office and say, and the finance manager says, well, good news, folks, congratulations on your car purchase, and I understand we've agreed on these numbers, and your payment's $427 a month, and let me tell you what that includes. You know, for the $427, that includes a 7-year, 700,000-mile warranty, which it wouldn't, obviously. And it does include gap insurance. You know, if you wreck your car and the insurance company doesn't pay enough to pay off your loan, then this will step in and pay for that. And also your tires and wheels and everything's going to be. And that's all included in that monthly payment. Isn't that wonderful? And you're sitting there saying, you mean we get all that included in that monthly payment? Yes, you do. I just need you to sign right here. Now, everything that just happened is illegal and unethical. It's illegal because when you were out there on the showroom floor buying that car, you didn't know that any of that stuff was in the payment, and they didn't tell you that any of that stuff was in that payment. It's not that that is bad stuff. It's just that you cannot preload all of that into a contract and deceive somebody. You know what that's called? That's called payment packing, and it is illegal. And so many customers fall victim to that. So what do you say when somebody says that? Well, here's what you say. That's great, but I don't want any of that stuff unless I know what it is. All I need to know right now, Mr. Finance Manager, being so nice to me, tell me what my monthly payment would be without any of that stuff. That's what I want to know first. You mean you don't want any of that? No, I don't want any of that stuff yet. Just tell me what my payment's going to be without any of that stuff. And then he reluctantly hits a couple buttons. He said, well, your payment would be $354.27. And what you're telling me is that doesn't include any of that stuff. That's correct. Okay. So how much is that extended warranty? Well, it would only add $27 a month to your payment. No. How much is the extended warranty? What are you charging me for the extended warranty? Oh, well, it's $2,800. Gosh, that sounds expensive. See, when you get something quoted to you in monthly payments, little installments, it sounds cheaper, doesn't it? Doesn't $28 a month sound less than $2,800 or $2,800? Of course it does. So you take these little increments and you add enough of them together, and then all of a sudden you have a $495 a month payment. Why do they do that? Because it is a natural way to sell in a finance office and a way that they can make more money. Most dealerships do a pretty good job disclosing everything that's on the contract. They can get in serious, monstrous trouble if they don't do that. That's a federal law that you have to, it's called Regulation Z. And even, it's not Zorro, it sounds scary, but it's Regulation Z. And it means that they have to disclose everything. They turn that contract around to you. If all they point out is the monthly payment and they don't point out all the sales tax and the rate and the total of your monthly payments and the total purchase price, including your down payment and your trade and all that stuff, if they don't say that out of their mouth, they have broken another federal law. So it's just critical, you know, that you don't buy anything that you don't know what you're buying. And I tell you what, if somebody tried to pack payments on me and I was walking to a finance office and said, by the way, this is included in your payment, I'll say, no, it's not. Why is that? Because I'm leaving. That's exactly what I would do. Now, there are some dealers just soon I not say that, but it's said. I can't bring it back in. I'll be right back here in just a minute. Okay, last thing. Folks, you're in the finance office, and you sign all this paperwork, and then they stick one more thing in front of you that says this is a contingent finance contract. What does that mean? Well, that means that we don't really have this approved at the bank yet, but we will. I promise, and he's got his fingers crossed behind his back, I promise we will get this financed, but right now, this is just a temporary contract. Don't sign that contract. If they don't have you approved, don't buy the car. This is called a yo-yo financing scheme. Any term that ends in the word scheme is not good. Or, well, you can judge for yourself. But I'm telling you, this happens to a lot of folks. And what happens is they're not approved. The reason they can't get approved is because of credit issues or because the dealership is asking for too much money. And so they're gonna put you out in the car. They're going to put a dealer tag on the car. They won't put a temporary tag on the car. Why? Because temporary tags are for people who own cars, who bought them. Dealer tags are for people that might have to bring them back. And you don't want to have to bring back your car, do you? Well, because you get all in love with it. You show it to your neighbor. You take your cousin Ernie on a drive around to see the leaves. And then you bring it back. And you don't want to bring it back, right? You want to keep the car. You've become invested in ownership of that car. So you come in and say, well, we got good news. We got it approved. Well, that's good. We got bad news, too. Yeah, your rate went up, and you're going to have to pay us an extra $30 a month. Well, that's not right. Well, but you signed this agreement saying that you would agree to do it. So we either need you to sign this agreement or you need to leave the car. Oh, by the way, we've already sold your trade-in. Folks, you have no idea how many people that has happened to. It happens right here in East Tennessee, not at Gateway Ford, but, you know, not everywhere else, just a few, but it happens. You got to watch out for it. Got to keep your eyes open. If you have any youngins that are out there and never bought a car before, go with them. Don't let them go do this by themselves because, you know, a shady salesperson loves a novice. You know what a novice is, right? Somebody with no experience, and they don't really know what they're doing. So just be careful out there. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. You can get me at 423-552-2020, and I will see you tomorrow.